You know, it's interesting that that you know I go in and I drive by and say, oh, that's cool, that's nice, that, you know, looking better, right? Well, because we want to leave a good impression. But it's easy to forget how much time, effort, revenue had to be. You had to work hard to get through this program and up to this point where you'd actually get the work done.
Well, you know, we did, and at the time I ran for election 3.5 years ago, consultants were just finishing this study on the downtown. And one of my pledges was, we're going to get this done this time. This is phase two, and like I said, we're making great progress on it. We get lots of compliments on it too. I even get emails from prospective students who come in town from their parents of how nice our downtown looks. That was even before this part started.
So. But I would suppose that it at some point during that conversation or just after it, you have you think about, well, I wonder how many students will see it. And what I'm talking about, alluding to, is the fall enrollment number at SIU in the context of the discord that's going on with the Board of Trustees and SIUE and the appearance that that can have when we're trying to lure people to Carbondale.
Well, yeah, the discourse, as you call it, is not helping things. We need to get it settled. SIU needs to get it settled. You know, Faculty Senate took a vote yesterday, and I think it was something like 27-2 and 2 abstentions or something like that.
Not
the
first
paper this morning, the Southern Illinoisan, a vote of no confidence in Randy Dunn. But it's up to the Board of Trustees. They need to step up and figure out what they're doing. We can't let this drag out. We need a decision.
But it is going to drag out. I mean, they're already, what, I think the July meeting has already been canceled, moved to August or September, hasn't it?
Yeah, but I'm hearing they're going to, they keep saying they're going to call a special meeting again. So, but I don't know when that is.
A friend of mine who works within the SIU system, he says, Tom, when you see the enrollment numbers in fall, there's a number, but you need to ask which is which. There's a number of the students that come here and are on campus and the number that are including the fall enrollment that are online.
Right, exactly. And that online number is it's still good for the university's numbers, but it doesn't help our businesses here in Carbondale and Southern Illinois.
What did you feel whenever you read the emails from Randy Dunn? What did you think?
You know, I was saddened by them. I know Randy and Rhonda. Terry and I have socialized with them, and you know, I oppose the moving the $5 million, and unfortunately, we've lost some friends there. And I don't think we'll ever be able to recover that relationship. I also felt a little betrayed. I just never imagined some of these things were going on.
SIU School of Medicine, on the other hand, is also a bright spot in the prospect of Carbondale. I'm going to be doing an interview on Friday with the Chief Operating Officer Bart Milstead and Dr. Quincy Scott, who's the Director of SIU Family and Community Medicine Residency Program, on this new project, the building. That's jobs. But it also represents now, and I know you listen enough because you've started catching on. I got a theme that we've been building on here at News Radio WJPF. It's not whether we have jobs, it's whether we have people to go in those jobs. And when it comes to healthcare, this is an essential link.
Well, you know, absolutely it is. Certainly healthcare is constructing the building. It's a multi-million-dollar project, and SIU is going to lease the building for their medical school and for to train these young physicians. At the groundbreaking, there was a real interesting number that came out that I wasn't aware of, but right at 2/3 of our graduates from this medical school stay here in Southern Illinois. You know, that's a huge number. And also, Southern Illinois healthcare brings just absolutely state-of-the-art healthcare across Southern Illinois, and it keeps us from having to drive to St. Louis or Chicago or somewhere for that care that we need. And it also brings folks to Carbondale. So they're a huge economic thing for the region also.
Yeah, well, I can't help but think that maybe that enrollment number will be helped by this when it's finally done.
Well, I think it will eventually, but I think it's going to be a slow pull coming back. We're just going to have to do everything we can, and the city is pledged to do what we can do. And I know the university's doing a lot of things. We had dinner in the Dale, and we had I was part of that, and we started at Long Branch with parents and their students coming in, and got a chance to address them and sit down and talk with them. And find out why they came here and so on and so forth. It's pretty interesting. And they went on to Italian Village and then on to Cool Spoon. So they had a taste of Carbondale that night. And I like calling it the Dale, too. I like to refer to Carbondale as the Dale.
Right, yeah. Well, as long as when you're at Long Branch, you have the Nutty Irishman. It will keep you going all night for whichever restaurant you want to go to. Have Will make that with a double shot of espresso.
Yeah, start your day out right, too.
Right. I have Will there at Long Branch make me one of the double espresso thrown in there, so I'm vibrating pretty much when I walk out of the place. You know, because we do have a lot of great things here in Carbondale, and we get tied up in things that, that distract us because they're bad things, and it's human nature. We always report on the cat that's up the tree, not the one that's safe at home with parents. But when it comes to it, right, you know, you want people to come, and this is why you're willing. I think this is third time charm as you're looking for this grant for a transportation hub in Carbondale?
Yes, it is. It's the third time, and you know, we made a pilgrimage to Washington, D.C., and a big part of that agenda was to meet with Amtrak officials and the U.S. Department of Administration, high-up officials, which we did. Senator Durbin and his staff were gracious enough to set this up for us, and we also met with the senator twice out there. SIU and Sentinel Healthcare both went out, and we're dealing with looking at mutual things that they can do together through federal grants for healthcare and rural healthcare. So it was a very productive trip. But with the Amtrak station, we feel really good about our application this time. They gave us their review of our previous applications, and we had everything in there. They said a few things you need to bring to the front more, such as the main thing was that we're serving a very rural area here, and it means a lot for folks. We realize we have folks coming to get on Amtrak from Cape Girardeau, from Paducah, all around southern Illinois here and the neighboring states. So we've got our fingers crossed, and we're hoping it'll be really good. It's an $18 million project, and the feds would fund 80% of that. And the rest would come from us and hopefully some from the state.
And so how much are you asking for in the grant, Mike?
Whatever 80% of $18 million is.
Okay. All right.
14.6 or 14.4, something like that.
You know, when it comes to money, you know, gambling, I talk to businesses, and they really like the additional money it brings in for them. I often wonder whether it's enough for municipalities, but not my decision to call, but an expansion. And I was it changing designations of a place so that they're qualified as a truck stop so that they can have video gambling? Was that the last issue?
Well, all of our gambling is tied to a liquor license. And what happened was we had a couple of folks who we just have one property right now that really qualifies to be a truck stop under the state law. And they were allowed under state law to do it. But not under, since we're home rule, it wasn't in our ordinances. So we had these two folks interested in it. There's one other property that if they acquire a little bit of additional land, they'll qualify as a truck stop also. So they were, one's on East 13 and the other one's on South 51. So they were away from the current gambling facilities that we have in town. And we were just trying to accommodate their wishes.
Right. Mike, personal thing between you and I, okay?
Yeah.
All right, and personal, but it's also professional, and it's weird how that can happen. Well, it is when you're invested in, you know, things like I am and you are, sometimes you can't pull the two apart, right?
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, every Monday morning, every Sunday night, I'm getting ready for the Monday morning show, and I am praying I don't see another shooting in Carbondale over the weekend. I've literally gotten on Monday morning, we made it, no shootings, okay. And then, you know, sometimes I don't get to say that. What do you think, Mayor? I mean, what can, because you and I remember a different time. I mean, when Sheila Simon was running for mayor, she's, oh, there's parts of Carbondale that I wouldn't walk through. And I'm like, I scoffed at her. I did. I scoffed at her. I said, I've never not felt safe. And to this date, I've never been in a position where I didn't personally. But I've got other friends who don't. Whether it's a parking lot at a place they shop or downtown, what can be done?
Well, you know, our police department is doing a lot to prevent these. We do extended patrols, which means we reach out further into our neighborhoods with not only riding in a squad car, but also foot patrols. We do foot patrols downtown and in the neighborhoods near the downtown. But all the outlying neighborhoods, we also do what's called directed patrols, which means a citizen has given us some tip of some suspicious activity they've seen going on, and we concentrate on those areas. And so this last shooting, we have all the perpetrators, the last couple of them, in fact, and that's because we have a real professional police department. We have an investigative unit that will take over after the patrol officers turn in their information. And so we're pushing back real hard with some strong community policing endeavors. Our problem is we are chronically understaffed in the police department. We, right now, I think we're probably 5 to 7 sworn officers down. And there's just the nature of policing these days is there's a lot of turnover.
Right.
But it's very, you know, we have funded it. The council viewed this as being very important, and it's expensive to fund policing. It just is.
Right. And it's interesting.
A lot that goes to it. But we funded them at a little bit more than we did last year and want them to have the tools to get the job done. And a lot of our crime is going down. These shootings seem to be the rate. I mean, it seems to me it's staying steady or maybe going a little bit down. A lot of these shootings tend to be between acquaintances.
Right. Yeah.
That instead of punching somebody, now they take a gun out.
Right.
And it's just a different mentality that's out there in society.
There's two things that I take away from your conversation here, Mike, is one, Mike Carr. You know, when I watch what is going on, where I don't see these guys being plead out, there's no plea bargains that, you know, that the state's attorney's going for it, right? That's the thing.
Mike Carr is doing an excellent job. He
right?
really is. He's a great state's attorney.
And I think that's worthy of note because I've been watching long enough to see what happens to these people, and there's a plea bargain, and they go like, wait a second, right? I wish they were charged with FOID card violations more often because you're out here hunting and you don't have one, you get it. But you shoot someone, they don't charge you for not having a FOID card, you know?
Yeah.
And the other item is police officers, because this is something that I have talked about with members of your staff for in excess of 25 years, that Carbondale police officers are very well trained. Other departments come here to headhunt, and among them, the Illinois State Police.
Well, yeah, it's one of the drawbacks of being one of the best police departments in the area, and we do do a lot of training. 15 weeks of a typical officer coming out of the police academy will spend at least 15 weeks in training before we let them go out on their own. So they always have to have a partner with them. Until they get through that training. And that training deals a lot with the specifics of Carbondale and the kinds of issues that we see most often. And we have experienced officers that let them know how to handle certain situations. And it's necessary. But unfortunately, once that training's done, they can be laterally hired by another agency and they don't have to go through the training anymore.
Right.
So, but we do have a clause in our contracts with them that they have to repay some of that training within the first year or 18 months if they leave.
Right.
after it's completed. So,
yeah, well, it's interesting, Mike.
It's still a problem.
Mike,
we see just a lot of people moving around, and we really need to keep that department fully staffed.
New figures are released that I read yesterday saying Americans are quitting the jobs at a record rate since 2001, the highest rate. It increased from 2.7%. These are people that voluntarily leave their jobs. And what's interesting is the percentage of these people that when they leave, voluntarily leave their jobs, where they end up going, they make more money, they get more benefits. I mean, I live in a town where the police chief is a Carbondale, former Carbondale police officer.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Right? So yeah. When you think about it that way. Mike, you know, this coming fall, and I'm going to admit to you now, I have already become obsessed with what our fall enrollment number is going to be. I'm obsessing over it. I don't know how healthy it is, but that's where I'm at.
Well, it's a very dismal number. I mean, honestly, it really is. And I don't know what our overall enrollment will be. The on-campus enrollment is a hard number to fish out anywhere, too. But whatever those come down to, we're going to have to deal with them, and we're going to keep doing our best to provide our students and their families with a good experience here in Carbondale and Southern Illinois in general.
Right. I mean, that's the city's end, right? I mean, because when you think about this, because it is a synergy. It's a symbiotic relationship between the city of Carbondale and SIU. Actually, I'm starting to see this a little differently because I'm a visual person, and I see this as a symbiotic relationship between SIU, Carbondale, and SIH. That's the way I see the economy of Carbondale.
Well, those two are, hands down, our largest employers. And so, yeah, it is that. And, you know, SIU, both of those corporations, in fact, have significant economic impact throughout Southern Illinois. I mean, we see cities, there's an economic impact study that SIU did two, three years ago, and places like West Frankfort may see $1.5 million of economic impact in all the way over there. We feel like it's a long ways away, but there's a large circle around here, especially up and down the Route 13 corridor, that everybody benefits from SIU and Southern Illinois Healthcare.